അലക്ഷ്യമാണോ ഒരു ഗുണം സാനുകേനയതോ തമോ സുപുരം പുനരായാതോ സമുദ്രവരികാം നൃപാം പുരോദിതം ഭഗവാനപി ഗോവിന്ദ ഉപയേമേ കുരു ദ്വഹ വൈദർഭീം ഭീഷ്മക സുതാം ശ്രീയോ മാത്രം സ്വയംവരേ പ്രമധ്യക്തരസാരാജ്ഞ സാൽവാദീം ശൈത്യപക്ഷകാൻ പശ്യതാം സർവലോകാനാം താക്ഷപുത്രസുധാമിവാം ശ്രീരാജോവാച ഭഗവാൻ ഭീഷ്മകസുതാം രുക്മിണീം രുചിരാനനാം രാക്ഷസേന വിധാനേന ഉപയേമമിതി ശ്രുതം ഭഗവത് ശ്രോതുമിച്ഛാമി കൃഷ്ണസ്യാമിത തേജസ യഥാമാഗത സാൽവാദീം ജിത്വാ കന്യാ ഉപാഹരൻ ബ്രഹ്മൻ കൃഷ്ണകഥാ പുണ്യ മാധ്വീർലോകമലാഭ കൊനു തൃപ്യേത ശൃണ്വാനം ശ്രുതജ്ഞോ നിത്യനൂതനാഹ ശ്രീശുക ഉവാച രാജാസീൽ ഭീഷ്മകോ നാമ വിദർഭാധിപതിർമഹാൻ തസ്യ പഞ്ചാഭവൻ പുത്രോ കന്യൈകാചവരാനനാം രുക്മഗ്രജോ രുക്മരഥോ രുക്മബാഹുരനന്ദര രുക്മകേശോ രുക്മവാലി രുക്മിണ്യേഷാം സ്വസാസദീ സ്വപശ്രുത്യ മുകുന്ദസ്യ രൂപവീര്യ ഗുണശ്രിയ ഗൃഹാഗതീർഗീയമാനാസ്തം നേനേ സദൃശം പതിം താം ബുദ്ധിലക്ഷണ ഔദാര്യം രൂപശീല ഗുണാശ്രയം കൃഷ്ണശ്ച സദൃശീം ഭാര്യാം സമുദ്ധോഢ്യം മനോധതേം ബന്ധൂനാം ഇച്ഛതാം ധാതും കൃഷ്ണായ ഭഗിനീന്ദ്രവ തതോ നിവാര്യ കൃഷ്ണദ്വിൽ രുക്മി ചൈദ്യമമന്യതാം തദവേത്യാസിതാപാംഗി വൈദർഭീ ദുർമനാമൃഷം വിജിൻവ്യാപ്തം ദ്വിജം കഞ്ചൽ കൃഷ്ണായ പ്രാഹിണോദ്ധൃതം ദ്വാരകാംസ സമഭേത്യ പ്രതീഹാരൈ പ്രവേശിത അപശ്യദാദ്യം പുരുഷം ആസീനം കാഞ്ചനാസനേ ദൃഷ്ട്വാ ബ്രഹ്മണ്യ ദേവസ്ഥം അവരുഹ്യ നിജാസനാൽ വവേശർഹയാൻ ചക്രൈ യഥാത്മാനം ദിവൗഗസാം ഭുക്തവന്തം വിശ്രാന്തം ഉപഗമ്യ സദാംഗതി പണിയാഭിമുഷൻ പാദാം അവ്യഗ്രവ്യഗ്രസമപൃച്ഛതാം കച്ചിൽ ദ്വിജവര ശ്രേഷ്ഠ ധർമ്മസ്ഥേ വൃദ്ധസംവദ വർത്തതേനാധികൃച്ഛേണ സന്തുഷ്ട മനസ സദാം സന്തുഷ്ടോ യർഹി വർത്തേത ബ്രഹ്മണോ യേന കേനചിൽ അഹീയമാന സ്വധർമാൽ സഹ്യസ്യ അഖിലകാമദുഃ അസന്തുഷ്ടോ സകലോകാനാത്മോത്തിരിസുരേശ്വര അകിഞ്ചനോ വിസന്തുഷ്ട ശേദേ സർവാംഗവിജ്വരാം വിപ്രാൻ സ്വലാപസന്തുഷ്ടാൻ സാധൂൻ ഭൂതസുഹൃത്തമാൻ നിരഹങ്കാരിണ ശാന്താൻ നമസ്തേ ശിരസാസകളും കച്ചിദ്വക്കുശലം ബ്രഹ്മൻ രാജതോ യസ്യ ഹി പ്രജാഃ സുഖം വസന്തി വിഷയേ പാല്യമാനാ സമേ പ്രിയാഃ യതസ്ത്വമാഗതോ ദുർഗം നിസ്തീരേഹ യതിച്ഛയാം സർവം നോ ബ്രൂഹി ഗുഹ്യം ചൽ കിം കാര്യം കരവാമതേ ഏവം സംപ്രഷ്ട സംപ്രശ്നോ ബ്രാഹ്മണ പരമേഷ്ടിന ലീലാഗൃഹീതദോഹേന തസ്മൈ സർവമവർണയൽ ുന്ദമഹീകുലശീലരൂപം വിദ്യാവയോദ്രവിനധാമഭിരാത്മതുല്യം ധീരാവതിം കുലവതി നൃണീതകന്യ കാലേ നൃസിംഹനരലോക മനോഭിരാമം തന്മേ ഭവാൻ ഖലു വൃതപതിരംഗജായ ആത്മാർപ്പിതശ്ച ഭവതോത്ര വിഭോ വിദേഹി മാ വീരഭാഗമഭിമർഷത് ചൈദ്യമാരാൽ ഗോമായുവൻ മൃഗവദേ ബലിമംബുജാക്ഷാം പൂർത്തേഷ്ട ദത്തദേവം വ്രതദേവ വിപ്ര ഗുരുവർച്ചനാതിവിരലം ഭഗവാൻ പരേശാം ആരാധിതോ യതി ഗതാഗ്രജമേത്യവാണിം ഗൃഹാതുമേ നമകോശസുതാദയോന്യേം ശോഭാവിനീത്വമജിതോ ദുഹനേ വിദർഭാൻ ഗുപ്തസമേത്യ മൃതനാപതി വിപരീത നിർമ്മധ്യ ചൈത്യമഹതേന്ദ്രബലം പ്രസഹ്യ മാം രാക്ഷസേന വിദിനോ ദുഹവീര്യശുൽക്കാം അന്തഃപുരാന്തരചരീമനിഹത്യ ബന്ധും സ്വാമുദ്വഹേ കഥമിതി പ്രവദാമ്യുപായം പൂർവേദ്യുരസ്തി മഹതി കുലദേവി യാത്ര യസ്യാം ബഹിർനവവധു ഗിരിജാമുപേയാൽ യസ്യാം കൃപങ്കജസ്തപനം മഹാന്തോ വാചന്തിവാമതിരിവാത്മതമോ ബഹത്യൈ യർഹംബുജാക്ഷനലഭേദ ഭഗവൽ പ്രസാദം ജഹ്യാമസൂൻ വ്രതകൃശാ ചതജന്മഭിസ്യാൽ ശ്രീ ബ്രാഹ്മണ ഉവാച ൂഹ്യസന്ദേശോ യദുദേവമയാഹൃത വിമർശകർത്തും യച്ഛാത്ര ക്രിയതാം തദനന്തരം ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ ദ്വിപഞ്ചാശതമോധ്യായം ശ്രീശുഭ ഉവാച വൈധർഭ്യാസന്ദേശം നിശമ്മേത നന്ദന പ്രഗൃഹ്യ പാണിന പാണി പഹസന്നിതമബ്രവീൽ ശ്രീഭഗവാൻ വാച തദാഹമവിദച്ഛിത്തോ നിദ്രാം ച നലഭേ നിശി വേദാഹം രുക്മിണാ ദ്വേഷാ മമോദ്വാഹോ നിവാരിതാം താമാനൈഷ ഉന്മത്യ രാജന്യവസധാൻ മൃദേ മത്പരാ അനവദ്യാങ്ങി വേദസോഗ്നിശിഖാമിവാം ശ്രീശുഭവാചാം ഉദ്വാഹർഷം ജവിജ്ഞായ രുക്മിണ്യാ മധുസൂദന ജതസംയുജ്യതാമാശു ദാരുവേദ്യഃ സാരഥിം നജാശു സജാശേഷാഭ്യ സുഗ്രീവാ മേഘപുഷ്പവലാഹകൈ യുക്തം രഘുപാനീയ തസ്തോ പ്രാഞ്ജലിഗ്രതാം ആരുഹ്യ സ്തന്ദനം ശൗരീ നിജമാരോപ്യ ദൂർണയൈ അനർത്ഥാദേകരാപ്രേണ വിദർഭാനകമന്ധയൈ രാജാസക്കുന്ദിനവതി പുത്രസ്നേഹശംഗത ശിശുബാലയ സ്വാം കന്യ ദാസ്യൻ കർമാന്യകാരയൽ പുരം സംവൃഷ്ടസംസക്തം ആർഗരഭ്യചതുഷ്പദം ചിത്രധ്വജപതാഗാമി സ്തോരണൈ സമലംകൃതം സംഗന്ധമാല്യാഭരണൈ വിരജോംബരഭൂഷിതൈ ദുഷ്ടം സ്ത്രീപുരുഷൈ ശ്രീമൽ ഗൃഹൈ അകരുദൂഭിതൈ പിതൃദേവാൻ സമഭ്യർച്ച വിപ്രാംശവിധിമന്ത്രമ ഭോജയിത്വാ യഥാ ന്യായം വാചയാമാസ മംഗളം സുസ്നാതാം സുസതീം കന്യാം കൃതകൗതുകമംഗളം അഹതാം ശുഭയുഗ്മേണ ഭൂഷിതാം ഭൂഷണോത്തമൈ ചക്രുസാമർഗജിന്മന്ദേ വധ്വാരക്ഷാം ദ്വിജോത്തമ പുരോഹിതോധീർവദ്വിദ്വൈ ജുഹാവഗ്രഹശാന്തയേ ഹിരണ്യരൂപ്യവാസാംസി തില്വാംശാഗുണമിശ്രിനൻ പ്രാധേധേനുശ്ച വിപ്രേഭ്യോ രാജാ വിധിവിദാംബര ഏവം ചേതിമതി രാജാധമഘോഷസുതായ വൈ കാരയാവാസമന്ത്രജ്ഞൈ സർവമഭ്യയോചിതം വദച്ചു മൃഗജാനീകൈ ോജരാസന്തോ ദന്തവക്ത്രോ വിധൂരത ആജന്മുച്ഛൈദ്യപക്ഷീയ പൗണ്ഡ്രകാദ്യാ സഹസ്രശാം കൃഷ്ണരാമന്ദുഷോ യത്ത കന്യാം ചൈദ്യായ സാധിതം യദ്യാഗത്യ ഹരേത് കൃഷ്ണോ രാമാദ്യേ രാജഗുരുമൃതാഃ യോത്സ്യാമ സംഹതാസ്തേന ഇതി നിശ്ചിതമാനസ ആജഗ്മുർഭുജ സർവേ സമഗ്രം പരവാഹനാഃ ശ്രുത്വൈതത് ഭഗവാൻ രാമോ വിപക്ഷീയ നബോദ്യമം കൃഷ്ണം ചേകം ഗതം ഹർത്തം കന്യാം കലഹശങ്കിതാഃ ബലേന മഹദാസാർദ്ധം ഭ്രാതൃസ്നേഹപരിപ്ലദ ത്വരിതക്കുണ്ണിനം പ്രാഗാൽ ഗജാശ്വാരഥമത്തിവീഹി ഭീഷ്മകന്യാവരാരോഹോ കാംക്ഷന്ത്യാഗമനം ഹരേ പ്രതിപത്യമപശ്യന്തി ദ്വിജസ്യാ ചിന്തയത്തദാം അഹോ ത്രിയാമന്തരിതാം ഉദ്വാഹോ മേൽപരാധസ നാഗച്ഛത്യരവിന്ദാക്ഷോ നഹം വിന്യത്ര കാരണം സ്വവിനാവർത്തതേ ദ്യാവി മത്സന്ദേശഹരോ ദ്വിജാം ോവിന്ദോ നേത്രമസ്ഫുരൻ അന്തപ്രകരീം ദേവീം രാജപുത്രീം ദദർശഃ സാദം പ്രഹൃഷ്ടവദനം അവ്യഗ്രാത്മഗതീം സതി ആലക്ഷ്യലക്ഷണാഭിജ്ഞ സമപ്രച്ഛച്ചു സ്മിതാം േണ രാമകൃഷ്ണോ സമാഹണേ മധുവർക്ക ഉപാനീയം വാസാംസി വിരജാംസി സ ഉപയാനന്യ ഭീഷ്മാനി വിധിവത്സമപൂജയൽ തയോർനിവേശനം ശ്രീമൻ ഉപകൽപ്യ മഹാമതി സസൈന്യയോ സാനുഗായോ ആദിത്യം വിദതേ യഥാ ഏവം രാജ്ഞാം സമേദാനം യഥാ വീര്യം യഥാ വയ യഥാ ബലം യഥാ വിത്തം സർവൈ കാമേ സമർഹയൽ കൃഷ്ണമാകരമാകർണ്യം വിദുർഭ വിദർഭപുരവാസിന ആഗത്യ നേത്രാഞ്ജലി പകുസ്തന്മുഖമംഗജം അസ്യൈവ ഭാര്യാ ഭവിതം രുക്മിൻ നിർഹതിനാപര അസാവൻ അസാപ്യന്നവന്ത്യാത്മ ഭൈഷ്ണ സമുചിതപതീം കിഞ്ചിൽ സുചരിതം എന്നസ്തേന തുഷ്ടസ്ത്രലോകങ്ങൾ അനുഗൃഹ്ണാതു ഗൃഹ്ണാതു വൈദർഭ്യാ പാണിമച്യുതാം एवं प्रेम कलाबद्ध वदन्ति स्म पुरोगस कन्या चन्दपुराल् प्रागात् भटे गुप्ताम्बिकालयं पद्भ्यां विनिधयो दृष्टं भवान्या पादवल्लवं स जानुध्यायिनि सम्यक् मुकुन्द चरणाम्बुजं एतवां मातृविस्सार्थं सखीवि परिवारिण गुप्ता राजभटैः शूरैः सन्नद्धैरुद्धितायुधैः ോഷിത ഭവാനി വന്ദയാശക്രോ ഭവപത്നീം ഭവാന്യുതാം നമസ്തേ ത്വാംബികേ വിഷ്ണു സുസന്ധാനയുതാം ശിവം ഉയാൽപതിർമേ ഭഗവാൻ കൃഷ്ണ തദനുമോദതാം അഗ്നിഗന്ധാക്ഷരേ ധൂപൈ വാസസംവതിഭൂഷണേ നാനോപഹാരബലിവേ പ്രദീപാവലിവിപ്രസരൻ വിപ്രസ്ത്രീയ പ്രതിമതീസ്തഥാതൈ സമപൂജയൻ ലവണാരൂപതാംബൂല കണ്ഠസൂത്രമലേക്ഷുമീം തസ്യൈ ശ്രേയസ്ഥാപദു ശേഷാം യുജിരാശിഷാ താഭ്യോ ദേവേ നമശ്ചക്രേ ശേഷാം ജജഗൃഹേ വധൂം മുനിവ്രതം തത്യക്ത്വാ നിശ്ചക്രാമ്പികാ ഗൃഹാൽ പ്രഗൃഹ്യാ പാണിനാ ഭൃത്യാം രത്നമുദ്രോപശോഭിനാം താം ദേവമായാമിവ വീരമോഹിനീം സുമധ്യമാം കുണ്ഡലമന്നിദാനിനം ശ്യാമാം നിദംബാർപ്പിതരത്നമേഖലാം വ്യഞ്ജലസ്തനീം കുന്തളശങ്കിതേക്ഷണാം ശ്രീസ്മിതാം ബിംബഹലാധരന്തിനി ശോണായമാനം നിജകുന്ദകുന്ദണ പദാചലന്തിം കളഹംസകാമിനിം ചിഞ്ചത്കലാനൂപരതാമശോഭിനാം വിലോക്യ വീരാമോഹ സമാഹ ശസ്തിനസ്തൽക്കലഹച്ഛയാർദിതാഃ യാം വീക്ഷതേ കൃപതയസ്തുരാരഹാസം വീണാവലോകഹൃതചേതസമുഞ്ചിതാസ്ത്ര പേദുക്ഷിതോ ഗജരഥാശുകതാ വിമൂഢ യാത്രാചലേന ഹരേർപ്പയതിം സ്വശോഭാം സൈവം ശനൈശ്ചലയതീചല പദ്മകോശോ പ്രാപ്തിം തഥാ ഭഗവത് പ്രസമീക്ഷമാണ് ഉത്സാര്യമാവകരജൈ അളകാരഭാംഗൈ പ്രാപ്താൻ ഹൃയേക്ഷതുർവാൻ ദൃശേച്ഛിതം സാം തം രാജകന്യം രഥമാരുരുക്ഷതി ജഹാര കൃഷ്ണോ ദുഷതാം സമീക്ഷതാം രഥം സമാരോപ്യ സുവർണലക്ഷണം രാജന്യചക്രം പരിഭൂയ മാധവാം തഥോ യയോ രാമപുരോഗമൈഷണീ ശ്രുകാലമധ്യാദിവഭാഗവൃദ്ധരീ തം മാനിനം സ്വാഭിഭവം യശക്ഷയം പരേജരാസന്തവശോ നസേഹിരേ അഹോദിയസ്മാന്യശമാധന്വനം ഗോപയഹൃതം കേസരിനാം മൃഗൈരിവാം ഇനി ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവത ദശമസ്കന്ധ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ ത്രിപഞ്ചാശത്തമോധ്യായം സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി മാരേജ് ഓഫ് കംസസ് രുക്മിണി ടു കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ഹൗസ് ഹോൾഡ് ലൈഫ് വിത്ത് രുക്മിണി കംസ് ഇൻ ദി ലേറ്റർ ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ് ഇൻഫാക്ട് രുക്മിണി വാസ് ദി മോസ്റ്റ് ideal wife of Krishna. In other words, although Krishna married, Krishna had another 8 wives, and beyond, after that Krishna married another 16,000 wives. So in the Puranas it's mentioned Krishna had altogether 16,008. Some Puranas it's also say 16,108. Whatever it is, all the other wives looked upon Rukmini, how Rukmini had behaved with Krishna. They all followed Rukmini. That was Rukmini's special position. And Krishna consulted Rukmini in almost all the major decisions. And Rukmini's love for Krishna was so much in abundance that Krishna could not repay that. And that relationship which was in the time of Lord Ramachandra as Sita Devi, and in the Vaikuntha planet as Lakshmi Devi and Lord Narayan, Mahavishnu, that position also is exactly the same, that same relationship which Krishna manifested here with Rukmini Devi in Dwaraka. So I'll stop there. If there's any questions or comments, please.
Mentioned Brahmana addressed Krishna Yadunara, and regarding these pastimes of Lord Ramachandra,
yeah.
Surya was kept in these two slokas.
Yeah.
Elaborate, please.
Yeah, he did not explain that in detail, saying that he was Valmiki. But what you will notice in the Bhagavatam, if you read those two verses, you will find there the way he addressed Valmiki, or in other words, the Brahmana addressed Krishna was that Yadunatha Mayahradam, that
I have brought this message and it is for you to act now. In other words, as soon as the Brahmana spoke this to Krishna, immediately Krishna's mind went back to that incident of leaving Sita Devi in the forest. It was able to bring that memory back to Krishna. And the way Krishna replied also, I'll get her back here now. In other words, already that relationship was there. It was not something new that it has started at that point. And Krishna replied in the next chapter, in the first verse itself, it says there that I will bring Rukmini here. In other words, as much as the Brahmana reminded Krishna, Krishna also mentioned to Brahmana that I got the message, that I have to do it. Understanding has been come from the great acharyas, that they say that this is what is in that message, the way they have spoken. Although Sri Shukan explicitly doesn't say that this was Valmiki or this was Sita Devi, but from these two words, the acharyas have found that this reference to that incident of Balaram or Lakshman leaving Sita Devi in the forest, and this incident what happened between Valmiki and Lord Ramchandra, and that Brahmana stayed back in this world till he saw that Krishna and Rukmini were united together. That's the story behind it.
You mentioned that Shishupal had a more opulent palace than Krishna.
Yes.
So some significance for that?
Yes, there is a significance because we have to remember who Shishupal is. Shishupal is Shishupal was fallen down from Vaikuntha planet. Jaya and Vijaya, the two gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, they were cursed by the Kumaras, four Kumaras, when they went to see Lord Vishnu in the Vaikuntha planet. They had committed an offense there, and they had, that story is in the third canto of Bhagavatam, that they were cursed by the Kumaras, that they will have to accept three births in this world. So Jaya and Vijaya, the two gatekeepers at the Vaikuntha, they came down in their first birth as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, the first time. And then later on as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And this was their last birth, the third birth, Shishupala and Dandavatra, they came as. In all these three births, Krishna has killed them in different forms, like Ravana and Kumbhakarna was killed by Ramchandra. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were killed by Varaha and Nasimha. And in this last birth, Shishupala was killed by Krishna and Dandavatra also later on. So the reason for that why Shishupala had so much opulence was that Shishupala has come from Vaikuntha planet. Vaikuntha means opulence. And if Shishupala in this planet, if he doesn't have that opulence behind him, that reflects on Krishna actually, because he is associate of Krishna there. And Krishna's desire was, when my devotee comes here, he should have as much opulence as I have in this world. That is what is Krishna's desire, or Krishna's actions are always like that. Krishna will never make sure a devotee will lack in anything. So Krishna wanted that his devotee in this world also should have the same opulence, if not better than him. And therefore, they say that Shishupala's opulence were even higher than Dwaraka, that what he had. And that was the reason why Shishupala was... in fact, you will see later on when the Rajasuya sacrifice was performed, Yudhishthira Maharaj was short of funds. And who supplied all the financing was done by Shishupala. Shishupala said, take as much wealth as you want from here. And Bhimasena was packing gold coins so much to carry to Indraprastha for this Rajasuya sacrifice. So that has come because of the Shishupala's great opulence, what he had at that time.
So was it almost like an act of humility on Krishna's part?
Yes, it is. Krishna says, Amani Manado Manyo. In the Vishnu Sahasranam, there is one of the definition of Krishna's qualities mentioned there. Amani Manado Manyo. For himself, Krishna doesn't want anything. But he would like his devotees always to be held in a better position. Amani Manado Manyo. Loga Swami Trilogadrak. then for himself he is not bothered very much from anybody what they can offer, but he will make sure that his great devotees of Krishna, they will always occupy a higher position, and Krishna gets a great pleasure in honoring them, on his devotees. And no matter how much he honors them, he is not satisfied. That is Krishna's nature. As far as devotees are concerned, his close associates and close devotees, Krishna will shower them with wealth or shower with them with fame, anything what they want. And that is one speciality of Krishna's dealing with the devotees. That's mentioned in the 1000 names of Vishnu.
Yes. So this refers to any kind of devotee or just...
Obviously there is, isn't it? It is, yes, yeah. That's what we have to understand it like that. That when Prabhupada came to America, he said, I had 40 rupees with me. Mm-hmm. And what was 40 rupees then? But Krishna decided that he should have sufficient facilities for preaching Krishna consciousness. So everything was arranged and provided for Prabhupada's pleasure to preach Krishna consciousness. So when Krishna wants something to happen, nothing else can stop that. It will automatically happen. And that is in case of all the great personalities who have served Krishna with such a wholeheartedly, Krishna will provide them that opportunity.
He said that Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, if they want a favor to somebody else, I will take away from everything gradually from him. And they yeah. will make him as a penniless in the street, and he will completely depend on me. Then, it how to some people because of this verse, somebody afraid of to worship Krishna, maybe he will take away everything.
Yes.
How to convince them? How to convince them?
Actually, it is a very, very misunderstood verse, that particular verse. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse says like this. It says, what does it say? It'll come to me. I'll say later. Basically, what the verse says is that when one surrenders and when I want somebody to become my devotee, I take away, I got it. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishyeta dhanam shanai. So when I want to give some mercy to somebody, I will take away all his wealth. This is how the sujana dukkha dukhira, and when he loses all his wealth, he will become so distressed in this world that he will become totally surrendered unto me. Now, sometimes people will read this and start thinking, is it good to become Krishna's devotee? because this brings a lot of issues. After struggling so many years in this world, I have made some wealth. Now, if he takes that away, everything from me, then it's going to be a problem. Yasyaham manugrihnami harishyeta dhanam shanai. So, but actually it is not like that. Krishna doesn't do anything to anybody in that way. What normally happens is that for some people, Krishna will take away. That means for some people, when wealth becomes an issue in advancing in their spiritual life, Krishna will take their wealth away. Sudama's wife, when she had no money and she was suffering so much without eating, she could not continue her spiritual life anymore. That time Krishna decided that we should give them wealth. So it was decision was is purely Krishna's decision. He looks into the situation and then makes the decision. When Krishna felt that Sudama's wife without wealth, she cannot manage in this world, Krishna decided to give plenty of wealth to them so that they may continue their spiritual life. For somebody else, that when one has too much wealth, and when one feels that pride comes in, and then he starts, what's this all Krishna consciousness? It's all just a waste of time. If this feeling comes to him, one day Krishna decides that, I think the wealth is causing the problem for that person, he takes away the wealth from him. Similarly, there are other instances also. Sometimes you will see in this world, you can see yourself if you look at people. Sometimes people, they become very healthy. So healthy that they start thinking that nothing can challenge me in this world. And they, with their chest high, they keep walking all the time with that strength and bodily concept of life so strongly. Krishna catches them one day very strongly in the feet and pulls him down. Gives him a nice disease so that he will not get up from the bed anymore. And he will lie there and thinking, now what can I do? And he will become so helpless that Krishna decides that this person needs that treatment. So depending on who, in what position it is, Krishna gives that different medicine. That's all. Krishna doesn't have any ill feeling towards anyone that, oh, you become my devotee, I'll take all of your wealth. Krishna doesn't say that anywhere. But misunderstanding comes to the devotee sometime that if you become a devotee, oh, everything Krishna will take. Just like in the first kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, one person commented like this, that Narada Muni's mother, who was serving as a servant maid in the house of the Brahmana, one evening she was bitten by a serpent. So the other mother started telling, look at Narada Muni, his mother, he was worshipping Krishna. What happened? His mother got bitten by the snake. Now you don't go and start worshipping Krishna, I get bitten by the snake. The mother started interpreting like this. Now what can you do? But that is not the purpose of these verses. In that verse, it doesn't say like that. That sometimes, some people, because when the mode of passion or rajogunam is a little bit stronger in them, Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, decides to take that wealth away so that they get a little bit purified from that point. And that is one of the reasons why it happens like that. Otherwise, Krishna has no reason to take away anybody's wealth. Krishna doesn't need all this wealth for himself.
Prabhupada says this verse applicable for me. But again,
yes, because
gave much. So
the Prabhupada's godbrother who gave sannyas to Prabhupada mentioned to Prabhupada that situation that you should take sannyas now because that's the right thing to do at that point in time. And Krishna Prabhupada took sannyas. But Prabhupada at that point was saying himself that this is what his material life means. This is what can happen. That even if you acquire wealth in this material world, it will be taken away one day by Krishna's arrangement. So Krishna has been so kind to me, Prabhupada said. He took it away in such a nice way and took it away in the right time that I could preach Krishna consciousness. That was the devotee seeing it like that. This is what that's all about. But that doesn't mean that everybody escape as soon as you become a devotee, all the money will be taken away. No, there is no such statement in the Bhagavad.
Excuse me, Guru. Is there somewhere that Narada Muni
cried his words humbly to
Krishna?
Yes, that is in the Bhagavad. That story comes later. That is in one of the household pastimes of Narada Muni. Of Krishna, that Narada Muni decided to visit. The reason was this, that after the marriage of all the wives Krishna had, 16,008 or 16,108 wives, Krishna has built separate palaces for all these wives. So in Dwaraka at that time, there was a word going around that how can have Krishna so many wives and how can he maintain them? And this this question came up and there was a discussion among the people in Dwaraka that is Krishna present? Can every one of them see Krishna all the time? Because if you have 16,000 wives, it's not going to be a very easy thing. What to speak about 16,000, even with one wife, it's not easy in this world. So with 16,000, how Krishna was managing, this question came up. And Krishna was, there was a discussion among the public that do they see Krishna regularly or when do they see, how often do they see Krishna? So when this happened, somebody said to Narada Muni, Srinara Maharshi heard this once. Srinara Maharshi told them that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He cannot 16,000, he can maintain 16 million wives. It's not difficult for him. He has that opulence and he has that power in him. But people asked Narada Muni, have you seen Krishna with all his wives? Narada Muni said, I have not seen, but I don't have to see myself. I know Krishna very well, that how Krishna can look after so many wives and maintain them. But they said to Narada Muni that if you are not seen, we can't accept what you say. Just like we also do the same thing. Unless we say, have you seen it yourself? Then we'll accept what you say. So they said to Narada Muni like this. So, and they said to Narada Muni, unless you check, verify yourself that Krishna is present in every palace, we cannot believe it, they said to him. So Srinara Maharshi one day decided that he will go to all these palaces and find out whether Krishna is present in every palace. So when Krishna went to one, when Narada Muni went to one palace, he could see there that Krishna was busy with Rukmini there. In the first palace he went into was Rukmini's palace. And Krishna was engaged in having conversation with Rukmini Devi. Rukmini was offering Krishna so many nice things. And Krishna was engaged in a very nice conversation with Rukmini. So when Narada Muni walked in, Krishna and Rukmini received Sri Narada Maharshi and told him, how many days we have not seen you. After a long time you have come to us, visit us. Why don't you come often? This, that and the other in a nice way. They received Sri Narada Maharshi. So Narada Muni got convinced that Krishna is there with Rukmini. Then he moved on to next to Satyabhama's palace. Satyabhama's palace, when he walked in, what was going on there? Krishna and Satyabhama were playing chess together there. They were playing chess. And they were in one state that Satyabhama was about to win the chess match. And if she has moved one more, immediately Krishna has lost the match. So it was up to that point when Narada Muni walked in. When Narada Muni walked in, Krishna said, this is the right opportunity to withdraw now, to resign from the game. And Krishna immediately gave a kick to all the chessboard and said to Satyabhama, look, Narada Muni is coming in. If he sees what we are doing here now as householders, it's really gambling here going on. And this is what householders do in their householder life. And Narada Muni walked in. So Satyabhama said to Krishna, don't talk about all that in front of Narada Muni. No. No, she was trying to keep everything away and present a nice face to them. And Satyabhama welcomed Narada Maharshi and told him, Sri Narada Muni, that don't you know that this is what we were always thinking about you, but you never come. If you don't come and instruct us about spiritual life, you know what will happen. We'll be doing this all the time. And showed the chessboard and all what they were doing there. This is what Krishna and Satyabhama were doing there. So anyway, Sri Narada Maharshi told them straight away that I will not stay very long. I'm just wanted to see you and and pay my respects to you. Krishna said to them, no, it should not be like that. You should come very often and visit us. Otherwise, we householders will fall into this maya very easily. Krishna answered like this and sent back Narada Muni from there. In the same way, Narada Muni went to Jambavani's, Mitravindas, Satyas, Bhadres, and Lakshmanas, Mitravindas, everyone's. And everywhere, Krishna was doing something or the other with his wife. Not only that, Sri Narada Maharshi also noticed one thing. Although the houses were built not far from each other, in one house it was summer, when he goes to the next place it was autumn, and another one there was winter. So the weather was also changing from one house to another. So Narada Muni was completely perplexed. And when he started walking, after about 25 or 30 houses, he saw Krishna was in every palace. He decided that now I will not search the rest of the 16,000 because it's too many for him also to go into search and verify. I think this was enough. He has picked up at random a few houses and sampled it and had it. So when he started going away from there, one of the policemen of Dwaraka approached Narada Muni and told Narada Muni, are you Narada Muni? He said, yes, I am. He said, all right, I've got a message for you. So Sri Narada Muni thought, what is this message I am getting now? He said, Krishna wants to see you now in the palace, in Rukmini's palace. And Narada Muni had to go immediately. He said, no, I have just seen him there. Narada Muni said to this policeman, he said, no, but Krishna wants you there. You should come now. He wants me to take you there straight away. Narada Muni had to go there. So there is an instruction from Krishna to Sri Narada Muni. Sri Narada Muni, he said to Sri Narada Muni, my dear Narada, he said, I am a person who has instructed this world about morals and spiritual values of life. Not only I have instructed them, I am a person who has practiced them in my own life. And Narada Muni immediately understood the message that Krishna is not a person who just speaks something and goes away from this world. He has practiced it in himself, in his own life, in many ways. And Narada Muni immediately cleared all his doubts in his mind that Krishna is the Yogeshwara. He has all the capacity to expand himself, and he could maintain not 16,000, 16 or 1600 million wives, he could maintain. And Narada Muni was convinced. He went back and told everybody that what he saw in Krishna's different palaces. This is that story.
When Krishna was approaching Rukmini, and he said that Rukmini became alert, that because Krishna was well known for kidnapping women. But it was only after having married Rukmini, then later on he kidnapped the 16,000. So is there any instance of this kidnapping?
No, actually Rukmini was not thinking that Krishna was kidnapping all the women. Actually, the kings in the palaces were saying that.
Yeah.
They were saying, because Krishna was known as for his beauty, and they were always trying to blacken the face of Krishna. This was the intention of all these kings. So they always spoke in such a way. In fact, when Rukmini was married, it says there that when Krishna took Rukmini's hand and walked into the chariot, Krishna said, Konugamishyasi Chandramukhi. Krishna is addressing Rukmini as Chandramukhi, the moon-faced. And where are you going? And holding her hand. And at that time, the kings who were present there, they came to Krishna, Konugada Pashupalaha, that the cowherd boy, they are calling him. That's why they were trying to insult him in that time, that you're just a cowherd boy. What right have you go to touch Rukmini's hand like that? So they were always aware that as long as Krishna and Balaram was there, there was always the possibility of them not able to marry their princess to the princesses who were available at that time. So they were conscious that the presence of Krishna itself is such a thing for them that they could become one day, their princess will find difficult to find princesses for marriage. It is for that background they have said that Krishna's childhood pastimes were known to them, that Krishna had closer relationship with the gopis and Krishna's rasa dance. All these things were known to these kings, but they treated him simply like a cowherd boy, and because of that they were trying to offend Krishna by speaking in that way. That was the motive behind it.
Why
did
Yeah.
This particular marriage in the Shastra is known as Rakshasam. That means abducting, kidnapping and taking away. So that was what was Krishna did to Rukmini. In Swayamvaram, Rukmini was, the brother, was very much against that. That he wanted to arrange. Because if a Swayamvaram is arranged, automatically they had to invite Krishna and Balaram as well. For the ceremony, for the Swayamvaram. And when this information came about that there is Rukmini's desire is to marry Krishna, that Rukmini decided that Swayamvaram is not necessary. It was one way of cutting out of Krishna from there, from the marriage. And he was not willing to listen to the father, Bhishmaga's instruction. And he decided that he will perform the marriage in this way by arrangement, the Vaidika Vidhi, or the normal way. There are four different types of marriages: Gandharvam, Rakshasam, Brahmam, like that. So this particular Vaidikam, this Vaidika Vidhi is like this, that you properly arrange to match the horoscope and then decide that this girl should be married to this boy. So he decided to opt that route to keep away all the other princes. He wanted to have his choice imposed on Rukmini, which Krishna's arrangement was different to happen.
When Sita was in Vanvas. So when they were fighting, the Sita Mata came out and saw Ram. Mm. So then Ram Chandra Bhagavan recognized Sita and he was approaching Sita. And Sita Mata ran away, and she was crying to the Mother Earth to open, and she went in.
Mm-hmm.
How come Ram Bhagavan left Sita behind when he went to Vaikunth?
Yeah, but Sita Devi, although she went into the earth, she joined Ramchandra at the Vaikuntha later. But this was a decision taken in the palace of Ayodhya that Ramchandra was very much sticking to the dharma. He was Maryada Purushottama, as he is referred to, because he could not accept any bad comment from anybody about the royalty. So he decided that accepting Sita Devi after she has spent her time with Ravana was not proper. This is what, as probably you know the story, that how this happened. Yeah. So when Ramchandra heard that people are talking about this incident, especially a washerman who spoke to his wife about this, that by doing that, Ramchandra was not maintaining that purity of the married life. And immediately it became a matter of criticism. The washerman told his wife that, "I am not like Ramchandra, who will accept anybody who has gone and stayed with another person. And he was arguing this with his wife, and Ramchandra heard this, and when this was, Ramchandra started thinking about it, that people are talking about me in this way, that it is bad thing, that I being the king, I should be an example to them. So he thought about it, discussed with Vasishtha and the other great personalities in the palace, and it was decided that Lakshmana will take Sita Devi away from the palace and leave her in the forest. And that is how Sita Devi was brought into the forest, and eventually she gave up the body there. She went into the underground, underneath the earth, and disappeared from there. So at that time, Valmiki was there. The Sita Devi handed over these two boys, Ilava and Kusha, to Valmiki to look after them. Valmiki taught them Ramayana and trained them up about the glories of Lord Ramachandra. He made them to understand. And Ilava and Kusha spoke about, they were two heroic boys, and these two boys who later on became princes. They spoke Ramayana so nicely. They are known for reciting Ramayana, for their capacity, because they were taught by Valmiki himself. In the Ramayana it says also, Suswarakshara Suspashtam Nadashruti Manoharam. That's how they read Ramayana. That everything they read in Ramayana was such that everything was so clear, Nadashruti Manoharam, and it was also so pleasant to hear when they recited Ramayana. So these two boys, Lava and Kusha, were trained by Valmiki. And Lord Ramachandra eventually decided to leave the world and go back to the Vaikuntha planet. He had to go on his own. But he went back with all the other inhabitants of Ayodhya. And he met up with Sita Devi in Vaikuntha planet back again.
But Valmiki wrote Ramayana before Lord Ramachandra appears on this planet. By chanting the holy name of Lord Ramachandra. You get to know about the first is like Ramayana before Lord Ramachandra appears on the planet. So it is arranged by Lord Ramachandra, everything, activities?
Yeah. Yes, these activities are happened in so many instances before that Valmiki wrote Ramayana, but he trained up these boys in when Ramachandra was living in this planet. This story was spoken to them, and because he wanted them to remember that who his their father was all the time. And Ilava and Kusha, I don't know, historian says this, that these two boys, under the name, there are two cities still in Pakistan. Lahore comes from the word Lava, Lava's name.